With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this third Sunday after Epiphany, call number 409-605-523-9. Our pastor this morning is Pastor Mark Nebo, and his sermon is entitled, So That We Understand That the Joy of the Lord is Our Strength, taken from Nehemiah 8. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. I am Pastor Mark Nebel. I'm an instructor at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia. This is my first year there. Previous to that, I was a parish pastor for 34 years in our Southern Illinois district. It is good to be here with you today as we gather for worship. Our opening hymn is hymn 409, Hail, O Source of Every Blessing, hymn 409. We join together in Divine Service 4. It begins for us in Lutheran Service Book on page 203, or you may follow along in your worship folder. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord, and in Jerusalem his praise, when peoples gather together, and kingdoms to worship the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. You. Let us pray. The collect of the day is printed in your worship folder. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth a hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and all those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the 12th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the New Testament. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of our Lord. We stand for the singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We join together in the common confession of our Christian faith. We make use of the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We welcome forward the children for the children's message. As they come forward, we sing hymn 605, stanza 1. Hymn 605, Father Welcomes, stanza 1.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for coming up front this morning. I know you don't know who I am. I do have candy. Oh, that doesn't sound too good, does it? Maybe that's not the best way to introduce myself, okay? But it's good to be here with you today, and I'm glad you came up front. My wife and I have gotten to the point in life where we have grandchildren. Grandchildren. They're pretty small yet, but it's fun to teach grandchildren or little children the parts of the body. Right? I think all our adults will know what I mean. You ask a little child, you know, where are your eyes? You know, and she'll maybe point to her eyes. Oh, that's good. And where's your ears? Okay, point to the ears. Oh, good, good. Where's your mouth? Point to the mouth. They're learning parts of the body that way. Now, as you get older, have you ever done the song, head, shoulders, knees, and toes? Knees and toes. I can only get to the knees and toes when I'm sitting down. Anymore? All right. Some of you know that, right? Head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Okay, that's enough of my singing. But that's a way to learn parts of the body as well. Well, I'm talking about that because we heard in our second Bible reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul uses the image of our body to describe the church. That we are a family of faith, that we are the people of God, and that we are connected to one another, and each one of us has a part to play in that body of Christ. All right? So just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. That's what we are. An eye is important to our body, just as our ears are important to our body. Our fingers are important to our bodies, just as our toes are important to our bodies. Likewise, each one of us, baptized in the name of our triune God, baptized believers in our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, are part of His body. He gives us different gifts, different abilities, different things to do within the church. But they're all important, and together we make up the body of Christ here on earth. And we look forward to when Christ returns and gathers us to be part of His eternal family of faith, to live in His glory forever. Can you fold your hands and join me in prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have made us part of Your body, the church, here on earth. We pray that You would continue by the power of Your Holy Spirit to unite us to one another in faith toward You and in love for each other. We pray this in Your name. Amen. We will continue with the singing of our hymn of the day. It is hymn 523, O Word of God Incarnate, hymn 523. grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is our Old Testament reading from Nehemiah chapter 8. Both our Old Testament and Gospel readings today give us two biblical examples of what we would call worship services. Now, someone once told me that Jesus did not go to a traditional church. Well, sure he did. In our Gospel reading, Jesus is in his home congregation in Nazareth. It is one of a number of times that Jesus was in a synagogue to worship during his earthly ministry. Well, upon this day, he is asked to be the guest preacher. And the reading assigned for the day is from Isaiah chapter 61. In history's shortest recorded sermon ever, Jesus simply says, "Today, this passage has been fulfilled in your hearing." Then see what happens to him for preaching such a short message. They took him to the edge of town. They wanted to throw him down a hill, which would have been the first step in the process of stoning him to death. I don't think there are any big hills or steep cliffs here in Sweet Springs. But I'm not going to take the chance. So I know this is my first time preaching here. I'm going to be here for a number of weeks. And I promise you, I will never make the mistake of preaching too short of a sermon. I don't want to get stoned to death. Now, we see quite the opposite in our Old Testament reading. The people are so wanting to hear God's word that they stand for a six-hour service. And all the people gathered as one man. It is so important to be together personally with one another as fellow believers. I remember well during the COVID pandemic, where churches were shut down, back where I was in the People's Republic of Illinois. And so all we could do was live stream and record on YouTube, and people were watching at home. Here at Emmanuel, you have a radio ministry, and that is a wonderful blessing, and certainly for those who cannot physically get out of their house and make it here to church. But I think those of us here know that that's neither one of those things is just not quite the same as being able to gather here in person. It's really hard to have Christian fellowship with one another if we're just sitting at home on the couch by ourselves. Our epistle reading, the body of Christ. We just don't want to be scattered into many different places. It is good for us to get together as we are able. They told Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. Well, obviously, at that time, they didn't all have their own Bible. Ezra, the scribe, was their version of a Bible publisher. And so he has a copy. And the people want to hear God's word for them from him. They're not asking for stories or jokes. They're not asking for entertainment or amusement. They're not asking for life lessons or social commentary. They are asking, what does our God say about our life? They have a desire, and they have an emptiness in their lives that only God's inspired, revealed, and written word can fill. They need to hear God's law against their sin. They need to hear God's gospel for the forgiveness of their sins. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, and he read from it from early morning until midday. The sun was now high in the sky. It was noontime. The people are not checking their sundials. They're not tapping their watches to see if they're still running. They're not looking at the time on their cell phones. You don't hear anyone in our text griping about the sweet hour of prayer going a full 70 minutes. Instead, it's 5 or 6 hours of church, and they're standing for it all. They do so respecting the presence of the Almighty God among them through the power of His Word. Men, women, all who understand. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. The people answered, Amen, Amen. What do we learn about our own worship from this passage? Well, we learn that it's not about us. It is about our great Lord God. We sometimes hear the response, I don't get anything out of church. Well, that might be because the person's not putting anything into it in the first place. We are not here for ourselves. We are here because this is where our triune God is present for us. The God of our creation, salvation, and sanctification. We are here to worship Him. Notice what the people in our passage do. They lift up their hands. Well, that was the posture of prayer. They bow their heads. That is their confession of sins. Their face is to the ground. It's a sign of their humility. They read from the law of God clearly and gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. We would call this the sermon. Clearly. They may be translating from the Hebrew language into the more familiar Aramaic language. But this does show a responsibility that pastors have in our preaching. We are to put the words of our message in the language that people know. We are to use images that apply to your lives. We're not supposed to fill our sermons with big theological words. Christian sermons are to tell you about your Savior Jesus in words and in ways that you can understand and also then use in the week to come. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Well, there is what we know as the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We are to give back to God the sacred time that He deserves from all those minutes and hours and days that He gives to us in a week's time. Why do the people in our passage cry when they hear these words of God's law? It's because they realize that they have not been keeping it. The Word of God does work, and in this case it has its intended effect upon sinful people. It shows them their brokenness. So now it's time for the gospel. And how is this for a benediction, a way to end the worship service? Ezra says, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine. Today we might say, not quite sure if it'll be warm enough, but we might say go home and barbecue a nice juicy steak, have a cold beer or a glass of wine, but also remember those who are in need and make sure you provide for them. And do not leave here sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What a great way for us to leave our worship service, filled with God's joy. The joy of sins confessed and sins forgiven. The joy of faith confessed and faith strengthened. The joy of Christ crucified and risen from the dead for us. The joy of God's word preached and His sacrament shared. The joy of our prayers prayed and of our praises sung. The joy of the Holy Spirit here, but also going with us. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Hebrew for this means a fortress, a stronghold, a place of refuge. It is where a soldier is to be protected from enemy attack. The joy of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives through His word and sacraments protects us from the spiritual attacks of our enemy, the devil, and all of his soldiers in this world. And while this passage is not the biblical basis of his hymn, The idea is the same as what Martin Luther writes in A Mighty Fortress is Our God. So today, after our worship service is over, go your way. Enjoy a great meal. Be happy on this holy day. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. In the prayer of the church, we remember those listed for us in our worship folder, those who are in need of healing and comfort, those who serve as mission workers, those who serve our nation in the military, and we remember those who are suffering from wildfires in California and winter storms throughout our nation. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God of Zion, we give you thanks that you have arisen to show pity to our fallen world and set us free from sin and death. In Christ, the appointed time of favor has come for all people. Cause your name to be declared among all peoples, that your grace may not be rejected in our time, but received with delight in every place. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, your people in the days of Ezra the priest returned to your word with attentive ears. Give us eagerness to hear your word with understanding, that our days may be sanctified and your commandments put into practice among us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, giver of the Holy Spirit, you bless your servants with a variety of gifts from one and the same Spirit. Grant that each of us may use these gifts for the common good of your people. We thank you for those who serve your church and its people through their dedicated mission ministry, remembering especially Peter and Christy, Jim and Claudia, David and Valerie, Tim and Aaron. Lord, in your mercy, give wisdom and courage to all who govern our communities and country, as many are now new to their elected and appointed positions, that they may lead well, following your will rather than human opinion. We thank you for those who serve us as members of our nation's armed forces, remembering especially McKenna and Drake, asking you for safety and success in the exercise of their duties for our world's peace and our country's liberty. Grant us willingness to support them with our prayers and encouragement. Lord, in your mercy, gracious and compassionate Lord, comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones to physical death. As our great physician, mend the bodies and uplift the spirits of all those who are in need of healing and comfort, especially remembering Carol, Randy, Stanley, Millie, Mary, J.R., Cindy, Ruby, Michelle, Mike and Eva's family, Brandy, Avery, Lonnie, Jeff, Diane, Gail, Retta, Holly, Kelly, David, Rhonda, Jessica, Mary Lou, Brooke, Nicole, Debbie, Millie, Dolores, Dorothy, and all those whom we name in the silence of our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of all creation and love for your creatures, we ask that you would look with mercy and kindness upon those who are suffering throughout our nation, either from fires in California or winter storms, especially in places not used to such weather. We pray for your protection of them, for restoration of property and livelihood, for recovery from injury and comfort from grieving. We thank you for the dedicated service of firefighters, emergency responders, and law enforcement officers during these days of disaster and loss. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. We stand as we join together in the praying of our Lord's Prayer. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. I'm going to have you remain standing as we sing our closing hymn. It is hymn 923, Almighty Father, Bless the Word, hymn 923.